Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lala Kol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Ki Tisa. And the vast majority of Parshat Ki Tisa deals with the sin of the golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, and the aftermath of that sin. Now, after Moshe confronts the Bnei Yisrael regarding the sin, regarding the Chet HaEgel, he then returns to Har Sinai for 40 days of tefillah on behalf of the Jewish people. And eventually Hashem promises to forgive the Bnei Yisrael. He promises that he'll lead them himself into Eretz Yisrael, and he assures them that the Bnei Yisrael would forever be his treasured nation. It's at this point, after successfully pleading on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe asks something very fascinating. He says to Hashem, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ched, Har'eini Na Kivodecha, please show me your glory, which sounds like Moshe is asking to actually see Hashem, to have some sort of vision of Hashem. And Rashi here explains, this is right on that Pasuk, Ra'a Moshe Shaya Eit Ratzon Udvarav Mikubalim. Moshe saw that the hour was propitious and that his petitions were being favorably received, Vosif Lish'ol Lirato Marit Kvodo. And he therefore made a further request that Hashem let him behold a reflection of his glory. Moshe is trying to capitalize, to take advantage of this special time of divine favor, and he asks for some sort of vision of Hashem. Now Hashem ultimately rebuffs Moshe's request because this is in Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer lo tuchal lirot panai ki lo yirani hadam v'chai. He says, you can't see my face, you can't have a vision of Hashem, a mortal person can't do so because they will die. Instead, Hashem suggests in the upcoming Pesukim, Hinei makomi tivini tzavtal atzor, there's a place near me, you could stand on the cleft of this rock, Vaya bavor kvodi, and I'll pass by, v'samtich b'nikrat atzor, v'sakotik chapi alecha adovri, I'll cover you with my hand while I'm passing by, then v'hasi roti et kapi, and then I'll remove my hand, and ultimately in that way, v'ra'ita nachorai, ufanai lo yera'u. In this setup, you'll be able to see me as I pass by, you'll see me from behind, but you won't be able to see my face. That, apparently, a man could handle, obviously a man on a very high level, but you wouldn't be able to see my face, only see me from behind. Now, obviously, this is an incredibly enigmatic episode. The biggest complication, obviously, centers around the story's anthropomorphic elements, right? We know that Hashem doesn't have a body, a face, behind. So we would have to figure out what are all these allegorical terms, what do they mean, back and face? Okay, fine, that is one thing. But Rashi adds an additional detail of confusion, an additional wrinkle. Rashi here quotes the Gemara Masechet Brachot Daf Zayin Amud Aleph that tells us that Hashem gives him a vision of what? Kesher Shel Tefillin. Kesher Shel Tefillin, that Hashem shows Moshe, or he allows Moshe to see a vision of Hashem's tefillin, specifically the knot of Hashem's tefillin Shel Rosh. That's what he was going to allow Moshe to see. So we have to ask ourselves, what on earth does that mean? Hashem wears tefillin? What is the significance of this knot of Hashem's tefillin? Why did Hashem choose to reveal this particular part of his tefillin to Moshe? What are we supposed to make of this entire episode? So perhaps we can suggest an explanation. If you go to the Gemara earlier in Masechet Brachot, not the one that Rashi quotes, but earlier, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot and Daf Vav Amud Aleph tells us the following. Amar Lei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rav Chia Bar Avin. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak asks Rav Chia Bar Avin, Hani tefillin de Mari Alma Maktiv Behu. So the tefillin of the master of the universe, the tefillin of Hashem, what's written in them? We know that we wear tefillin. We have certain parshiot that make sense. What are the parshiot that are in Hashem's tefillin as if? So Amar Lei, Rabbi Chia answers to Rav Nachman, Umi ke'amecha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. One of the parshiot, so to speak, that are in the tefillin of Hashem, of the Mari Alma, the master of the universe, is the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim that Umi ke'amecha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. And who is like your people, Israel, one nation in the land. And the Gemara goes on to suggest other parshiot that are included, like Kimi goy gadol, how great of a nation, Umi goy gadol, is there any nation as great as them, and Ashur Shrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, Israel, Letitecha El Yon, and Hashem is going to elevate you above all other nations. Beautiful, beautiful parshiot that could be in the tefillin of Hashem. Okay, so if we had to summarize the symbol of Hashem's tefillin, we would argue that Hashem's tefillin all have parshiot. Those tefillin, they represent Hashem's great love and appreciation for the Bnei Yisrael, right? What's in there? Wow, Umi Goy Gadol, what a great nation, Ashrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, Letitecha El Yon, you're elevated above all other nations, Umi Ka'amecha Yisrael. Is there any other singular nation in the world? All of Hashem's tefillin are about how amazing, how singular, how significant, how important, how beloved the Jewish people are in the eyes of Hashem. Now that's fascinating, because if you think about where we are right now in our story, in the immediate aftermath of Chet HaEgel, one of the worst sins ever committed by the Bnei Yisrael. So there was a legitimate concern that Hashem's love for the Bnei Israel had been, lo aleinu, diminished, if not completely depleted. That Hashem could, at this point, still love the Jewish people, could still have the attitude of Mikamecha Yisrael Goyecha Baaretz, to still have this opinion of Ashrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you Israel, after the Chida Egel, how could it be? And of course, Moshe's pleas on behalf of Bnei Israel, they protected the Jewish people from destruction, they mitigated punishment to some extent, but it may not have been able to heal the wounds created by the sin of the Chida Egel, of the golden calf. So when Moshe asked to be shown the glory of Hashem, which is an impossible request, Hashem says, no, I can't do that, but instead, I'm going to show you an image that teaches you this incredibly important message. Hashem tells Moshe, look at my tefillin, look at the knot of my tefillin, that even when we can't face Hashem due to our sin, because we've let him down, because we've fallen so short of his expectations, we've made him so upset, when we can only see his back, so to speak, Hashem is still wearing his tefillin, the very same tefillin that represents Mikamecha Yisrael Goyachad Baaretz. How amazing are the Jewish people, Ashrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you Israel. Meaning, Hashem still loves the Bnei Yisrael in ways that we can't even imagine, even after sin. Like a loving parent who's so disappointed in a child when they make a bad decision. Hashem never stops loving us. Just like the parent never stops loving the child, Hashem never stops loving us. Is he disappointed? Of course. Are there consequences? Unfortunately. But does Hashem ever stop loving us? No. Hashem says, look, I'm wearing my tefillin. Even when Hashem has, quote unquote, turned his back on us, he still dons his tefillin. We could still see the kesher shel tefillin. We could still see the knot of his tefillin. And this approach might also actually help us understand why the Gemara emphasized that Moshe was able to see specifically the kesher, the knot of Hashem's tefillin. Of course, that is the placement, right? If Moshe was seeing God from behind, so we would see the knot, which is at the behind. Fine. But maybe there's more to that image. The knot, remember, fastens, it tightens the tefillin to the arm, or in this case, to the head. And this seemingly represents an even greater commitment to this idea that Hashem still loves us, even when we fall short. The kesher, which can also mean the connection, which ties us, which binds us. It's a reminder of that unbreakable bond that exists between Hashem and the Bnei Israel, even at our lowest points, even in the aftermath of a sin like Chet HaEgel. Obviously, we always have to strive to do our best to keep Hashem's Torah, to keep Hashem's mitzvot. But when we fall short, lo aleinu, when we fall short of Hashem's expectations, we have to engage in a rigorous, a thorough and sincere tshuva process. And we have to remember as well that Hashem always wears his tefillin. Hashem will always love the Bnei Yisrael, even when we are seemingly undeserving, even when it looks like things are dire. You know, if we think about In the wake of the atrocities on October 7th, the subsequent war, now with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with hostages still in captivity, global anti-Semitism, it's an incredibly challenging time for the Jewish community. And we assume any of the punishments that we face in this world, for the most part, emanate from sin. I can't tell you exactly which one it is, and be careful of anyone who says that they know. But we assume that we have not done enough, and we are therefore unfortunately deserving of this type of situation. Lo aleinu. But it's precisely during these times that we have to remember that Hashem is still wearing his tefillin. Hashem is still thinking to himself, Mikamcha Yisrael Goyecha Baaretz, Ashrecha Yisrael. Hashem still has that feeling, even in such a lowly state, even though we got to a point where lo aleinu, we deserve this type of thing, still Hashem is donning his tefillin, and we can't necessarily look at him right in the eyes right now. Unfortunately, we can only see him from behind, but we could see from afar, at a distance, that Hashem still has his tefillin on. We see that kesher, we see that unbreakable bond that Hashem always, always loves us, and he always thinks, Ashrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you Israel. Hashem is still wearing his tefillin, and no doubt, obviously, it goes without saying that we remember specifically the beginning of the war, and it's continued until this point, the surge in the amount of soldiers, some of who were completely secular until October 7th. They were all clamoring to wear tefillin, some for the first time ever, and that's an incredible testament to this enduring connection. Not only is Hashem still wearing his tefillin, but we're still wearing our tefillin. And people who never put them on, they put them on to say, Hashem, this bond is unbreakable. As bad as this might be, we may have caused this to ourselves, and now we're reaping what we had sown. It does not make a difference. You keep your tefillin on, we'll keep our tefillin on, because we have an unbreakable bond. Just as we believe that Hashem still wears his tefillin, we too are committed to wearing ours. And in doing so, we strengthen that kesher, we strengthen that knot, that bond of our tefillin and of our kesher with Hashem. May we all Keep this in mind. As difficult as things might be, and we hope that it ends very, very quickly, but as difficult as things might be, as sad as we may feel, as distant from Hashem as we may be, we have to remember that Hashem is still wearing his tefillin, and of course, so are we. May we all live lives that are worthy of this unbreakable and unshakable bond, this amazing kesher that we have with Hashem, and this everlasting love. Shabbat Shalom.